and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
I'm all right. How's your week been? How have you coped with heatwave number 4 of the summer?
It's not been too bad. I think the worst we got it was about 29, which was uncomfortable, but we had it worse a couple of years ago, so I think it was okay.
The heatwave's having effects that you wouldn't consider on certain creatures of our planet, Ben.
Really? Should I be concerned?
Well, I think it's more of a problem if you live near the coast, because what's happening is we have these little heat waves, we have the hot weather, and it's the summer, and people flock to the beaches, right? And they get a little bit jolly. They might take some alcohol with them onto the beach. And the problem is people aren't always picking up their litter, taking it home, and they're leaving unfinished alcoholic beverages on the beach. And seagulls are getting pissed, basically, is what's happening. Seagulls are getting pissed. And seagulls are now becoming aggressive when they're pissed. It's weird, isn't it? Because you wouldn't think a seagull would be anything other than aggressive when pissed. You don't sort of look at a seagull and think, oh, that'd be a happy drunk.
No, I mean, they're sort of their go-to is fairly aggressive without alcohol. So, yeah, I imagine that only fuels the fire.
And they're now picking fights with bin men.
Now, hang on, can I just check? Is this really the fault of the heat wave? Are we blaming the sun for this rather than the irresponsible littering cretins who are leaving their shit all over the place?
I don't know whether they're picking fights with the bin men because the bin men are taking the alcoholic beverages away. The leftovers.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Or whether they're attacking the bin men because the bin men are dealing with leftover food items that the seagulls would rather be ingesting. You know what it's like? You have a few beers. Right? I went out yesterday, had a few beers, and they got to that point where you thought, I sort of need a bit of food now, sort of soak up the alcohol. And that's probably what the seagulls are getting to. And there's the bin men clearing up all the food waste. Let's have them. Let's go for it. And you know, the thing about a seagull is they're not going to act on their own. Do you know what I mean? You never just get one lone seagull, do you? The hundreds of the fuckers.
So are they all now stumbling out of kebab shops at 11 p.m?
Yes. Trying to get cabs home, but the cabs aren't taking them. No. So you got to watch out for the piss seagulls.
Okay, well, sometimes I hear seagulls where I live. I don't know why. I'm not that near water, but maybe they're lost. Maybe they're pissed and lost.
Apparently, some of them get so pissed that if you do get near them, you can smell the alcohol on their breath. I mean, how much are they drinking? How much alcohol is being left on the beaches and beer gardens of our coastal holiday places that seagulls are smelling of alcohol?
I'm not saying you're lying. I'm sure you haven't read this, but can I call bollocks on that? No one is smelling alcohol on a seagull's beak and thinking, have you been drinking? That's simply not happening.
How do you know it's not happening? Have you been to a pissed seagull?
Who would be getting that close to a seagull?
Well, the bin men who are being attacked by them, presumably. You know, there's like swooping down to peck a bin man. The bin man's getting the waft of alcohol getting stronger as the seagull gets closer. That's what's happening.
So, are they being asked to perform any sort of field sobriety test, like fly in a straight line or recite the alphabet backwards?
I don't think you can ask a seagull to recite an alphabet, but they don't speak our language. That would be a very weird thing to be asking a seagull to fly in a straight line. Yeah, let's ask it to do that. Also, I wouldn't want to be a seagull, a piss seagull, you know, flying over the sea. Because although they can float on the sea, if you're pissed, surely there's a chance of drowning.
Also, I imagine your navigation skills would be highly compromised. And if you're above the sea and you're not sure which direction you're going in, then you've got to be in trouble quickly.
Yes. I mean, well, that's it. You could end up anywhere. Presumably over East Grinstead would be the place they'd end up. It'd be no good for a homing pigeon to get pissed, would it?
No. Going back to the bin men, I think you're right. I mean, if you have an angry drunk and for his own good, you try and wrestle the bottle out of his hand, which is essentially what the bin men are doing, removing the booze and emptying the bins, they're going to go fucking mental.
Yeah.
And if they're seen as a food source, then this I don't know what other ramifications or upshots this could have. Or when you say attacking the bin men, do you mean like...
Yeah.
beaking them or swooping at them using their sort of talons? What are they doing?
Yeah, I think they're going in around, when the bin men are trying to empty the bins, which is a source of food for the seagull. They're going in to peck, to swoop, to I don't know, bite.
Bite? Wow.
I don't know if they bite, do they, gulls? They do the peck. Peck. That's what they do.
So what's the solution? I suppose it's up to people to stop leaving booze around. I thought you were going to give me a much more sort of sophisticated reason for it, like apples that have fallen from the trees during the heat wave have fermented faster and the fermented apples are causing the seagulls to eat them and then get drunk by sort of accident. Not people are just leaving loads of booze around.
Yeah, no, that's what's happening. So basically the advice is just make sure you take your alcohol home with you. But you're right, I mean, fallen fruits can be a problem. I was also reading this week that we've got to watch out for drunk, angry, jobless German wasps who are...
Why German? Why is that detail thrown in? That's just a bit of casual racism.
No, it's not. They are German wasps, right?
Okay.
And they... basically, they've got nothing to do at the moment because it's that time of year where they're not having to go and work to bring stuff back for the queen wasp. The queen wasp has done her job. She's had all the babies. She's now going into hibernation or dead, right? So, and the wasps, the worker wasps, apparently get a little sweet treat that I think is secreted by the baby wasps in the nest. Right. And they're not getting that because the babies aren't there anymore. And so they've been going out and looking for sweet treats. And that's often fruit that's fallen, that's fermented on the ground. And these are German wasps, the yellow jackets, as they're known. Makes them sound like some sort of Nazi paratrooper group. Isn't it? But the yellow jackets are getting pissed. And then, of course, they become aggressive. And they're going round stinging people, attacking people. So we've got to watch it. That's what we're being, that's the advice that's being given. Look out for drunk, angry, jobless German wasps with nothing to do that have invaded the UK. They're attacking the Brits.
I haven't heard that about wasps before. I have, on a different podcast, I have heard the similar thing about bees because they get pissed sometimes. Mm. And they're not tolerated at all by the rest of the hive. If they step out of line, they will be sort of attacked and then sort of booted out of the hive.
Right, like the sort of bouncers at a nightclub.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not coming in if you're pissed.
Exactly that, yeah. But I didn't realise that the wasps were up to it. Yeah, I feel like the detail of German and jobless was another little dig there. But no, that's
well, they are jobless.
Scary.
They've got nothing to do. The German thinks they are a German breed of wasp. That's all we're saying here, you know. I mean, it could be just that, you know, since Brexit, the European wasps are annoyed at us. And this is their way of getting back at us for leaving the European Union. They're coming over... And they're attacking us. They're getting pissed up.
It all comes back to Brexit.
Well, basically what the Brits have done in Europe for years, go and get pissed and attack people. The European wasps are now doing on our shores. And who can blame them, frankly?
Yes. So a few weeks ago, we did the thing that was going viral at the time, the debate about who would win in a fight, 100 men versus a gorilla. Mm. So now this begs the question, what would you rather fight? Let's say 10 drunk seagulls, yeah, or an entire hive full of angry German jobless drunken wasps.
I think I'd rather take on the seagulls.
What, so you therefore think the wasps would be more dangerous?
I think, if you're talking like a nest of wasps, which could be tens of thousands, and they're all pissed up, I don't think you're going to have much chance, because at least with a seagull, I saw a video this week. I don't think this is a good thing, by the way, but it sort of made me laugh. There's a man sitting on a deck chair on a beach, grabbing a seagull and picking it up. And I thought, I don't know quite why you're doing that, but what I'm saying is that you've got, in terms of size, there's a lot more to go at a seagull. Do you know what I mean? You could bat them away. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You could knock them out the sky. Whereas the wasp... You can knock one away, but there might be thousands of others coming in, whereas a few seagulls... I'm not saying you're getting out of this unscathed.
No.
There's going to be peck injuries. There's going to be talon injuries. You may lose an eye but multiple numbers of wasp stings can be deadly.
Having seen this bizarre video of a man inexplicably grabbing a seagull.
Have you seen the video?
I haven't seen it. I just wondered if you picked up any tips now. So you've been preparing for this without knowing. You've got some tips on how to grip it. I mean, did he grab it? And I'm condoning this or any sort of animal cruelty, but did he sort of grab it by the throat and like sort of throttle it? Or did he manage to grab its body and lift it up?
Yeah, sort of the
nice
body.
To it? What was he doing?
It's from the body. He sort of came at it from above. And sort of grabbed it by the sort of where the wings are, and then picked it up. And it wasn't particularly happy at being picked
up. I can imagine.
And there wasn't any point in the video where the man thought, "I'll let this go now." He sort of wanted to get this thing to sort of sit on his lap almost. And you'd think by the video that the seagull had calmed down, but I would imagine it was just in absolute shock and was almost playing dead to a point. There's also a video I've seen of a man with a seagull on a lead somewhere. I've seen that video before. And I think, don't do that. Because if it takes off, it's going to strangle itself.
Yeah. or you've got a very interesting kite.
Yes.
I don't want to cast any aspersions or libel him, but it does sound a bit like this guy was drunk.
I don't know. He was on all you could see is on a deck chair on a. I don't know whether he was doing it to like maybe. I don't know if his kids were around. You didn't see that in the video. Whether he was trying to impress someone by I can pick up a seagull. I think seagulls can be irritating, right? If you're at the beach, particularly if you're having a picnic on the beach, the seagull is a pest. There's no doubt about that. But don't pick it up. Leave it be. And also, some seagulls, depending on the type of breed of seagull, can be massive. You know, they are big beasts, some of them. The one he picked up didn't look that big, but some of them are humongous, aren't they? And strong. I think you're risking injury. As I say, if you take it on a flock of drunken seagulls, I still think that's a better bet than a nest of drunken German jobless wasps. But leave the big seagulls, just leave them alone. Don't pick them up.
I didn't see the video you're talking about. And let's be honest, it doesn't sound like the behaviour of a completely sober person to just decide, I'll grab you and pin you to my lap and, you know, we'll have a bit of a cuddle and you'll love me. It sounds like the behaviour of a man who's had way too many in the pub and he's getting a bit handsy.
Yeah.
But I did see a video. And again, just to be clear, I'm in no way condoning this at all. But I did see another video of, I don't know why we've both accidentally been stumbling across seagull related videos this week, but it was a seagull who went for a man's pie. He was very aware the seagulls were clocking his pie.
Yeah.
And he was walking along the beach and this thing swooped at him and it went to sort of nick his pie. And again, not condoning it, just reporting what I saw, he punched it in the face.
I think I've seen this. Yeah, he punches the seagull.
And there's a bit of you that thinks, oh, don't do that. That's horrible. You mustn't punch animals. That's horrible. Then there's a part of you that thinks, that was quite a good shot, though, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of impressive.
You've got to be quick.
And then there's another part of me thinking, now, although we don't go around punching animals because not cool, are you allowed to act in self-defense and punch a seagull to protect your pie?
I don't know. Is that a thing to... can you assault a seagull to protect a pie?
I mean, I'm not sure you'd be done for assault. It might be animal cruelty-related charges, but...
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. The thing is, it was just instinct, I would imagine. I'm not condoning it, but it would have been just instinct that you're being swooped upon by a seagull to just lash out. Do you know what I mean? It's probably not even... Like, the pie's probably not the first thought. It's just, I'm being attacked. Bash! There it is.
You know what I mean? Get done for GBH. Goal bodily harm.
What animal would you love to see drunk? I've seen images of, like, dogs getting drunk if they've sort of lapped up a pint or something. I'm sure when I was a kid, my nan and granddad's dog Rosie one Christmas, someone had put their pint down on the floor and she lapped it up, and I think she was a bit pissed, and she was a lovely dog, but she could be quite possessive, and I'd imagine that her pissed might have been quite a thing, particularly if she got hold of the wrapping paper. She loved the wrapping paper at Christmas, and she got hold of the wrapping paper and she was pissed. I don't remember. I know there was a few occasions where there were altercations between my granddad and Rosie for the wrapping paper, but I don't know if that happened when Rosie was a bit pissed. I'm sure I've got a memory of that. If I'm wrong, it's a brilliant memory I've made up. But it's one of those things I must ask someone in the family once. Did Rosie get pissed one Christmas? Because that's what I've got in my memory. But dogs pissed. I don't think I've ever seen a cat pissed. That would be a good
thing. No, I haven't lived it, but I have seen videos of dogs, like you say, who someone's left a bottle open or they've managed to work out how to tip something over and then got drunk on vodka or something. But I think the animal I'd like to see, and I must stress from a distance, I don't want to be anywhere fucking near it, but I think a bear drunk would be quite something to see.
Well, I think they do, again, with fermented fruit, bears can get pissed, can't they?
I've never seen
it. I've read that happens.
But I can imagine it could be quite fun or funny to watch. Again, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near it. But what about you? Have you got a preference?
I don't know why, but I think a piss sloth would be...
Oh, no, that sounds dangerous. They could fall.
Well, yes. I suspect, again, they probably do get pissed if they eat some fermented stuff. But it might make them a bit more... animated.
What, you think it might speed them up?
Yeah, you know when you get pissed sometimes, you get a bit more animated and belligerent and loud. Maybe a sloth, can you imagine like a sloth really sort of running through the bush? Something you've never seen. Maybe they become a little bit, you just don't think as a sloth being aggressive. But, you know, it's punching monkeys as it comes towards it.
Trev, have you seen the latest genius idea from the executive chairman of Iceland supermarket?
No. What's this?
Basically, he's come up with a scheme to prevent shoplifting.
Oh, what, from... have you seen the seagull shoplifting, by the way? Have you seen that? That's another video.
Nick a packet of Doritos or something and then leg it out of the shop?
Yeah, there's a couple of videos doing the rounds where... what's amazing is they kind of know about the... to wait for the automatic door to open. Then it runs in, grabs a packet of crisps, and then runs out again. No one goes in to stop it. I'd imagine it's pissed off its face at the time it's doing it. So not to do with seagulls nicking stuff, though.
No, this is the problem as the cost of living crisis soars. Shoplifting, as you know, is going through the ceiling. Like I say, the executive chairman, Richard Walker of Iceland, he went on to the TV and he was interviewed and he said he's come up with this genius new scheme. Well, I don't think he claimed it was genius, to be fair. I think that's my sort of sarcastic interpretation of it.
Okay.
I wish I'd found this last week because we were talking about mic drop moments.
Yes.
And the way this clip ends, I really think Richard Walker thought he was on to his own little... mic drop genius moment. Just have a little listen to this.
We will give £1 to any customer who points out a shoplifter. We'll put it on their bonus card if they see any customer in our stores who are undertaking that offence.
What do? You tell someone in the shop?
Yeah, if they tell one of our colleagues that person's shoplifting and it turns out they are, we'll put £1 on their bonus card. Done.
£1?
I mean... Not even cash. Not getting cash. It's on the bonus card. And also, you're then going to have the risk of the person you just pointed out waiting outside for you to give you a good kick in.
Yeah. So that group of hooded youths over there who are loading up their pockets with bottles of vodka, you want me to go over there and risk getting my head kicked down my throat for $1?
Yeah, it's worth it, isn't it, for $1? You know, as I say, on your bonus card. I mean, that's in Iceland. That's probably the a pizza £1, isn't it? A good pizza for $1. £1. I don't know. Is that a good thing? £1 for pointing out a shoplifter? It doesn't seem enough to me.
Absolutely not. Also, I think he went on to say it costs the business around £20 million each year. So that obviously is a problem. Okay. But I would suggest maybe get some more security guards, people who are paid to look after this stuff, not ask members of the general public who are also your customers to risk themselves for a quid. It's just...
Yeah.
It's, I mean, if I saw you catch me sort of lining my pockets with stuff...
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got like 60 quid's worth of gear on me, and I saw you give me the eye, I think I'd sidle up to you and here's a pound and 10p, you saw nothing. And just, what's a quid? It's such, it's no incentive to step in at all.
You could scam it, though. You could just keep going round and just going up to, because in my local Iceland, there's one security man at the entrance, right? So he's always there. I could just, like, every time I go in, go up to him and say, I've just seen a... Just seen someone shoplifting. I think they've left the store now. Can I have my pound? I could build it up so much that I imagine the free visits to Iceland I could get in the end just by making up that I'm seeing shop. Do they have to catch the shoplifter?
Yes. As flawed as this stupid offer is, Richard Walker is no fool, because he did come to the conclusion. Only if we catch them and you are right and they're guilty, only then do you get your pound on your fucking club card or whatever it is. Unfortunately, you can't just go around making wild false accusations about everyone in the shop.
Oh, that's a shame.
I think they should have made it a bit more, well, far more generous than a pound, but maybe say something like, we'll give you 20% of the total value of what we were about to lose.
Right.
So if the trolley's worth 100 quid that they were about to bolt down the street with, and you prevent that happening, we'll give you a 20 quid in cash, not on your bloody Nectar card or your Iceland card or your Tesco club card. We'll give it to you in hard cash.
Mind
and
you,
even then, I'm not sure I'd bother.
Mind you, 100 quid's worth of stuff, that's a lot to be nicking. Because that's going to be a lot you're stuffing down your trousers or in your coat. Do you know what I mean?
Unfortunately, in East Grinstead, recently, fairly recently, our local supermarkets had to put in loads of big security barriers and all this sort of stuff because there was a small epidemic of people who weren't bothering to line their pockets or you know, slyly tuck something into their jacket. They were just filling up trolleys and just legging it.
Wow. Because I think in my local Iceland, on the trolleys, there's like a big pole on the trolley, so it won't leave the store. I think it will crash into the top of the doorway. There must at some point have been people leaving with trolleys.
But this is now why my previously sort of slightly nicer looking supermarket now looks like a sort of prison as you walk in and all these security barriers. It's the same reason we now end up with, you know, security alarms on cheddar cheese and things like that. So I understand they are sort of spoiling it for the rest of us, but I just don't think offering someone a quid to be a narc is going to be the right solution to the problem. And he seemed so proud of himself.
You can imagine them in the meeting where they're discussing security options, you know, and probably someone said, well, why don't we offer a reward for anyone that stops an incident of shoplifting in one of our stores? And he sort of gone, yeah, that's a great idea. Why don't we offer like a tenner? And you can just imagine like the financial officer just say, whoa, hang on a minute. I mean, we're losing 20 million pound a year on shoplifting. What about a pound? And they've all gone, yeah, that sounds good enough. Yeah. What about Midway?
Yeah, where's Helen, the sort of PR guru? Oh, it's her day off today. Okay, well, let's press ahead. Yeah.
Wow. I kind of admire it, though. You know, it's sort of, you know, it is becoming such a problem. And I think the danger is that, particularly in my area anyway, I'm reading a lot of people who own stores saying not only is the shoplifting getting worse, but the people doing it are becoming more violent as they do it. So, I mean, that is the scary thing, you know. And I don't mean this in any... Well, I do mean it detrimentally, actually. Right? I look at the security guard in Iceland and I look at him and I think, you're not tackling anyone. Like, you've got the uniform, but, you know, if someone takes you on, you're not winning. He looks a weedy little man. That's what I'm saying. It's just not happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I, I think it's not really like an ambition of mine. It's just something I'm trying to make sure I don't do, which is die for an absolutely ridiculous reason. Like, you know, trying to take a selfie on the edge of a cliff or something like that. And yeah, that's how I'm known for dying, because I was being an idiot. But I think if the reason you go to your grave is because a group of youngsters kicked your head in because you were trying to score a pound on your club card, I think that would chalk up as a fairly ridiculous reason to lose your life, don't you think?
Yeah, but on the positive side, you're going to leave your heir a pound. Now, Ben, at the moment, obviously, it's the summer holidays, kids off school. Of course, it's results time as well for a lot of kids. A-levels were out this week, GCSEs in the week to come. So nerve-wracking time for a lot of students, but lovely to not be at school. Do you remember those days of 6 weeks of no school? Just brilliant.
I do, and it felt like longer when you were that age as well. It just seemed to go on and on forever, and it was. And it, oh God, that was one of my favourite times. 6 weeks of no school.
It's just the last week, isn't it, where the feeling of having to go back gets worse every day.
I get that to this day. If I got a week off work and I'm back on the Monday, by about the Friday, I'm starting to get the end of holiday blues and thinking, oh, it's all coming to an end. So I still get that today.
Yeah, I think it doesn't stop us there. And it's the same for teachers, of course, who often have to do some work during the holidays as well. And then they have to think about the countdown going back to all the kids. And I was out with some mates the other day, and I was talking to a friend of mine. His wife's a teacher. And often they get terrible excuses from kids, you know, who haven't done their homework or who are late. And there's always a terrible excuse, right? And he got out his phone. He said, have a look at these. And this has been doing the rounds at his wife's school. I think these are from more American schools, but these were what teachers have put forward as the best stroke worst excuses they've ever heard from pupils. And I just want you to sort of put yourself in a position of a teacher and think, would I believe this? If I heard this story from a pupil, would I believe it?
Okay.
Right. So this was from a teacher at a high school in America. The kid came in, hadn't done his homework. And when the teacher said to him, why haven't you done your homework? He said, well, my grandmother stole my textbook in retaliation for me stealing her wooden leg.
That would be my problem, you see. I would find it, and I know teachers have to sort of remain straight faced, but I would find that almost impossible not to laugh out loud at. Because there must be times when kids are being really cheeky or rude, but they must occasionally say something devastatingly funny, and you've got to remain sort of in character. You know, I'm the disciplinarian, I'm in charge. You can't let that be a crack in that armor for a second, or you lose all control. But I would find that so hard not to just laugh at that.
Although I've got mates who are teachers who would say that actually you can laugh, because when it's so ridiculous, it shows you're human, but it also shows you're in control, because you're laughing because it's so ridiculous. But also, I'd call the bluff of the kid, because, I mean, A, what sort of grandmother's doing that for a start?
Yes.
What grandmother's saying, well, you're not having your book until I get my wooden leg back. But I'd say, okay, I'm going to phone your grandmother, or probably your parents, or phone your parents, just to check the story and find out, A, if your grandmother actually has a wooden leg, and yeah, B, if you stole it. Because if you are stealing your grandmother's wooden leg, we might need to have a chat about that anyway, about your general behaviour.
I think it's such an outlandish story that I think I'd go into sort of the mode of a sort of cross-examining defence attorney. Like, I'd sort of say, for what reason did you steal your grandmother's wooden leg? And you know, because they're going to have to keep lying here, and the story's going to get more and more crazy, more and more outlandish, and they're going to crack eventually, really. They set the bar way too high with that lie at the beginning.
And also, like, if that is a lie, which it most certainly is, like, where have you come up with that story? Is it on the bus on the way, or is that something you've thought out the night before. We thought, I'm not doing this homework, but I need a good excuse. Obviously, I need to blame somebody else for me not doing the homework. Maybe I don't get on so well with my grandmother. I don't know.
And I'm assuming then you get in trouble twice, once for not having done your homework, and then a second offence is then lying about it. So that's you've added trouble to yourself.
Then probably getting in trouble at home for lying about your grandmother's, either your grandmother stealing or lying about your grandmother having a wooden leg in the first place.
Or, I mean, that's if grandma's still alive. You never know, because she could be a completely fictional character.
That's true. Right, here's another one from another teacher. Said a student came in and he said he'd put his homework in a room in his house. I mean, how you think this excuse is ever going to work? He put his homework in a room in his house. He then said he forgot the room existed. He was at a loss to explain where his homework was. He was upset to think he must have imagined doing it, and he apologised. And then the next week, he amazingly found the room and found his homework a week later. Now, how do you think you're going to get away with that?
I mean, there's no investigation required here. This is just such obvious bollocks that, yeah, you're now in trouble for lying and not doing your homework. So, yeah, I'm not sure I'd bother to check on the mysterious room. Although, if for some reason he was telling the truth, I imagine he'd be very offended.
I mean, remember, some of these are true. Some of these are true, but they would have needed a little bit of investigation.
So far, I'm believing nothing.
Right, next one. This is a student who was always late for the first lesson of the day and rarely brought his homework in on time. And the teacher just got really annoyed in the end. He said, why is it that every day you're late and never with homework? And the student responded, oh, well, today my sister burned the house down. And everyone laughed. Even the teacher, I think, thought, well, it's just another terrible excuse. Turns out later, his sister had burned down the house that morning.
Really?
Yes. That doesn't excuse every other day the student's been late and not had homework. But that particular day, it was a valid excuse.
Yeah, I mean, that is incredible. Because I was going to say, yeah, well, a quick phone call can verify this. But for that to be true. So, like you say, it doesn't justify every other day. But was he let off the hook for that? Do we know, or do we not know the outcome?
I don't know the outcome. I'm assuming you're let off the hook if your house has been burned down.
You would imagine
that is a valid excuse for not having your homework.
That's fair enough.
That is a one-time excuse, even if it's not, I mean, as you say, it's going to be checked up on. But even if it's not genuine, you can't use that one. You know, it's like people, they often use it in comedy programs where people take days off because their grandma has died or whatever. So this is the ninth time your grandmother's died.
Yeah.
That's an excuse you can do twice with grandparents, right? That's it.
I imagine you could probably milk the burnt down house for two, possibly 3 days at a push.
Yes.
By telling other teachers, honestly, I had done it. It was in my house. I worked really hard on it. But it got burned up with the rest of the stuff and I haven't had time yet to reproduce it. I think you could probably stretch that out for 3 days. After that, they might start saying, well, you've had 3 or 4 days now to redo it. But yeah, I think you could probably milk 2 or 3 days out of that.
Although these days, I mean, I think maybe this was from a few years ago, that excuse. But I mean, these days, a lot of homework's done online. So once you've done the homework online, even if your house burns down, it would be stored in the cloud somewhere where the teacher would then access it. So that actually doesn't help pupils with excuses these days, because the excuse now has to be, well, the internet's gone down, I couldn't find the link to wherever you need to go to do your homework. You've got to have very technical excuses these days. You can't just have the dogs eating my homework, because I don't think much homework is done sort of on paper these days.
See, that's me showing my age there, because I was of a time when you would, you know, do your homework on a physical piece of paper and bring it in, or in an exercise book or whatever. I wasn't one for homework, well, full stop, but certainly not for online portals and links and stuff. That was a bit too modern for my old self.
Yeah. I mean, I think they still obviously have to do, particularly when you're getting towards your A-levels and stuff. But I guess it's all done on computers as well, right? Even when you're doing your essays and your whatever, it's all probably done online now. You know, it's a weird thing, isn't it? I sort of think of exercise books and scrawling things in fountain pen, you know. How old am I? I used to love a fountain pen. The only thing with a fountain pen is that it could get messy if a cartridge burst when you had to change the cartridge. But oh, something nice about writing with a fountain pen, isn't there?
I didn't like them. As you know, I'm a little bit heavy-handed with things. And I was always...
Bend the nib.
Yes, the bent nib. That was always the bane of my life. That's why I stick with biros.
Yeah, I knew you'd be a nib bender. Yeah. I mean, if you are going to have some excuse, at least running out of ink is a good excuse. But I think you need to know the sort of workings of writing implements, because one pupil made an excuse. They couldn't do the homework. They ran out of pencil ink. That's not how pencil works. You could run out of lead if it's one of those ones where you push the lead down, but use another pencil, you know.
Yeah.
You can't get away with that.
I would think, though, if that child didn't know the intricacies of how a pencil works, that homework was never getting done.
Yeah, that's true. Now, here's another one, and this is an odd one because there's not really any explanation as to how the excuse excuses there not being any homework, if you know what I mean. I'll tell you what the excuse was. So, hadn't done their homework, and the teacher said, "Why haven't you done the homework?" And she said, "I haven't done my homework because last night I had a bad dream about my cousin taking me and my dog on a road trip in a Ferrari."
I mean,
that's a dream. It's got nothing to do with your homework, has it?
No.
And the teacher says, "I have never understood how having a dream about a Ferrari road trip made someone not able to complete their homework."
Wouldn't you push
that a little bit more as a teacher? Wouldn't you say, well, hang on, that's a dream. That happens overnight for a start, so the homework should have been done before you went to sleep. So I don't quite understand why the dream has stopped you doing your homework.
Yeah, it's like saying, "I haven't done my homework because apparently it's due to rain tomorrow." It's like completely unrelated information that has nothing to do with the question.
Okay, here's another one. This was a mum writing to the teacher to explain why her son hadn't done his homework. And the reason given, I can only assume this is true. If a mum's writing a letter, it's got to be true, right? A mum's not going to lie in a letter for their children, surely.
Yes, I would hope not.
My son couldn't hand his homework in because a duck flew into our kitchen, panicked, and landed on the kitchen table. Despite her panic, the duck spotted some Rice Krispies and started to eat them out of the bowl, splashing milk and cereal all over the homework. Then the duck grabbed the homework page and flew off with it. Never happened. Never, ever happened. No. Surely. Unless it was a pissed duck. Was the duck pissed? Had it been hanging out with the seagulls?
No, as someone who's spent a lot of time with ducks, this is not common duck behaviour. I can vouch for this being bullshit.
I can imagine a duck flying into a kitchen. I can imagine a duck going to the Rice Krispies and eating them and splashing milk and cereal. I can even get to that point. I think that's where they should have put the full stop, splashing milk and cereal all over the homework. I think to then add, the duck then grabbed the homework page and flew off with it. I mean, the rest of it's almost unbelievable, but I think you could have got away with that. But then to say the duck flew off with the homework, no, too far.
This is that classic thing of when you know someone's lying because they're adding in far too much detail.
Yes. You know, I think just know when to stop, because you could say the homework was ruined because it had milk and cereal over it and that was this morning, so it couldn't be redone. I mean, you'd still probably expect to see the piece of paper with milk and cereal over it just to prove it. But you could have got away with that. But the duck flying off? No, too far, mate. Too far.
Yeah. I don't think that's very plausible. So was it in the same handwriting as the child?
We don't know that. No idea. Did you ever know anyone who tried to forge a parent's letter?
I don't think I do have any stories about that. No, do you?
I think someone at our school tried, and I think they got found out. I think they tried to forge a letter to get out of doing something, and they got found out. I do have a vague memory of that. But I just don't think you're going to get away with it, because your parents' handwriting isn't generally nothing like yours, and they're going to know your handwriting. And no matter how much you try and forge your parents' handwriting, I think teachers are way too intelligent to fall for that.
Yes, although you could type it out, and that would get around the handwriting issue. And then the signature's just a squiggle anyway. Yes. And these days, You wouldn't even, if you were a kid and you were worried that your vocabulary wasn't, you know, very adult sounding, these days you could just ask ChatGPT to come up with a letter for you. It would do it in a heartbeat.
That's right. Although I suspect today you probably just WhatsApp your teacher, the teacher, to say your son's ill or whatever. It's probably all done online again somehow. You probably don't even have a written letter to teachers anymore.
I don't like the idea of having my teachers on WhatsApp. I don't like that at all.
Well, probably not WhatsApp, but, you know, your parents would have some sort of... Because schools text parents now all the time information, and I would imagine it's the other way around. If your kid's not coming in, you'd email the school now, you'd text them. So if you could get into your parents' phone, you could now forge that and probably get away with it more than you could with the old letter-writing days.
Yeah, I think that's... but then, I mean, you've got to be able to sort of get into your parents' phone... So you need to know their passcode. There are added levels of difficulty to do it, but I think once you're able to do it, it'll be harder to get caught out, I think.
Yeah, but kids are clever, though. Kids are clever. They know how to get into parents' phones and iPads and things. Kids know how to do that.
Well, and also, you'd also have to be smart enough to remember to delete the email or whatever it was from the sent folder so that the parents don't discover that and think, I didn't write this. Yeah. There are still ways you can get caught out.
Okay, all right. I don't know why I'm thinking about it, because I'm not at school anymore. It doesn't matter. Right, last one. See if you think this one's true or not, Ben. One kid came into school, said he hadn't been able to do his homework because his pet parrot, another bird-related problem here. Now, I don't want to upset anyone. I've got a bit of a trigger warning. There is some animal injuries coming up here. His pet parrot flew onto the fireplace and caught fire.
Oh, my God.
It then proceeded to fly around the sitting room, and the dad tried to hit it with a frying pan because he was afraid the because he was afraid the curtains would go up in flames if the parrot went close to him. The dad eventually got the parrot into the kitchen and threw it under a tap, because obviously that's what you do if a parrot's on fire. You just throw it under the tap. He then said, with all the drama of the parrot on fire, I'd forgotten to do my homework.
Right.
I mean, come on. What a brilliant... I mean, if that happened... I mean, these days you'd want that filmed. Hopefully the parrot was all right. I'd imagine a parrot on fire, even if you put it under a tap, isn't going to survive,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Very much question the dad's knee-jerk reaction, his instincts, as it were, get the frying pan.
I mean, it makes you think, like, he was thinking, well, it's on fire anyway, I might as well put it in a cooking implement. You know, parrot's probably quite tasty. Yeah, it's being roasted anyway.
I think my punishment for this would be twofold. It would be, right, you're clearly in detention for not having done your homework. We're not even going to debate that.
Yeah.
I quite admire the creativity of this story. So we're going to enroll you in a sort of creative writing class as well, because yeah. we think you could harness this for good.
Yeah, but I do also want to see the carcass of the burnt parrot for evidence, please. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. By the way, can I just say that I do know that we have teachers that listen to this podcast sometimes. So I'd like to hear from any teachers who do listen whether you have had any excuses that have been outlandish, please.
Oh, yes, please. That'd be great.
So, get in touch if there's any of that. Even if they're true but outlandish, you don't have to obviously give any names or anything. But, yeah, any excuses you've ever heard, we'd love to hear from you.
What's the etiquette on that? If a teacher gets in contact with us, do we have to refer to them as Miss or Sir?
Sir and Miss, yeah, definitely.
I mean, even though I'm in my late 30s and you're in your 40s, is that still the polite thing to do?
Yeah, I mean, even my friends who are teachers, I call them Sir and Miss. Just because.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even know their real names, you know, just... it's the respectful thing to do, isn't it? When I worked in a school, I was always Mr. Smith. It's a mark of respect, isn't it, that children look up to you, go, Mr. Smith.
I've seen this trend on the internet where kids will go into their school and refer to their teacher by their first name and get their reaction. I imagine I would have been instantly put in detention for even thinking of trying to do that.
Yeah, I think... I mean, we didn't know a lot of our teachers' first names. You'd eventually find out, but it wasn't like a thing that you knew, whereas now I think kids will always know their teachers' names, but I think they are still obviously Mr. and Mrs. in the classroom. It's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I think so. As well as lies for not doing homework, I think also, if you don't mind, and if you want to stay anonymous, that's absolutely fine. I'd also like to hear general cheek and naughtiness that has been hard not to laugh at, or you kind of respect them for it, but you know you've got to tell them off about it.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see if we get any of those over the next week or so. Right, before we wrap up, as always, some recommendations. Got anything for us this week, Ben?
I just wanted to say that I think a few weeks ago you recommended on the BBC iPlayer a show called Here We Go.
Yes.
I've started watching it, and it's a good watch.
It's good, isn't it? It's very good. Yeah,
it is.
I think
good.
It gets better and better. I think I'm just getting to the end of watching the latest series, and it's very good.
I did find some of the filming, and it's done on purpose because it's shot as if a child is filming most of it, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So occasionally I sort of forget that's the point, and I find the camera work a bit jarring. But other than that, I think it's a really good show.
Yeah, no, it's very good. I'm going to recommend a couple of things this week. A show I've just finished watching called Bookish. Have you heard of this?
I haven't. What is it?
It's a British crime drama, Ben. As you know, I'm a big fan of the crime drama genre.
You surprised me.
written by and starring Mark Gatiss, and he's basically an unconventional bookshop owner who helps police solve crimes in 1940s London.
It sounds a bit like Murder, She Wrote.
It sort of is that again. It's, as we've mentioned many a time, it's that sort of thing where someone who isn't a policeman. The weird thing is that, like, obviously, I don't know, the first series has just been on. I think it's coming back for a second series. It's on You and Alibi, by the way, so you can watch it on You and catch up, all those You and things. Great cast in it, like lots of guest appearances from brilliant actors and actresses. So it's really good. But there's sort of this underlying story if you wonder where it's going, because the main character, Gabriel Book, right, who runs the bookshop, I think he's married, but he's obviously gay. But there's this whole thing about he can get involved in solving the crimes because he has a special letter from Churchill. And I just wonder where this is going. Like, did he have a relationship with Churchill? Is that where this story's going? There'll be people going, how dare you even suggest that Churchill could have... But, you know, who knows? It's drama. Could go anywhere.
It sounds intriguing.
So anyway, that's well worth a watch. The other thing I'm going to recommend is a two-part documentary that was on Channel 4 a couple of weeks ago, which I watched this week. You have to like Johnny Vegas, I think. I love Johnny Vegas. I think he's sort of up there with Bob Mortimer for me, in that he's just a likeable character, but he's so vulnerable at times as well. And this is a two-part series, Johnny Vegas, Art, ADHD and Me. And it's his story as he looks to create a piece of public art for his hometown in St. Helens. But then he gets diagnosed with ADHD, and it sort of follows his story a little bit through that. But it is mainly about the art. And, I mean, he is an incredible artist, Johnny Vegas. He really is. But he's just such a... I just like watching Johnny Vegas. I think he's just a genuine human being. What you see is what you get. And you know, he's quite emotional at times. He's very creative. Lovely programme. I really enjoyed it anyway.
Nice.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. All those teacher-based things, we'd love to hear from you. We're at Trevor and Ben on X and on Blue Sky. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well. Take it easy.
Bye.